We interrupt to bring you this.
You've connected with a worldwide network of millions. You're on TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Now, back to Barely Legal on AM 560, WIND.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Barely Legal Show here on WIND AM 560. This segment is brought to you by the law offices of David Spada. Go to David's website, injuryinillinois.com, or call him direct at 847-729-COMP. Again, 847-729-2667. And, boy, I tell you what, guys, I don't know how we keep grabbing these great guests, but this one holds the title as the tallest guy ever inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame. And, of course, that's big offensive lineman Bob St. Clair.
Rob, you tried to give it to Doug Atkins back in the day.
Bob St. Clair and I
measure each other every time we get together, and he's still taller.
Bob, how you doing out there in San Francisco?
Yeah, every time he knows that I'm going to be there, what he'll do is he'll wear boots. try to be taller.
Some high heels, huh?
Oh, boy. Everything's fine out here except the fact that we're not doing with the dam, but as far as the 49ers, and I expected so much this year because we got two great draft choices in linemen, and then the injuries got us, and all hell broke loose.
You're not going to blame it on the former Bear linebacker who happens to be coaching the 49ers, Mike Singletary, are you?
No, I'm not. I have a great respect for him, and he just has a problem trying to delegate authority down to his coordinators and his assistants, and that's the biggest problem I think I see out here.
So you're saying he's a control freak?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the 49ers' play calling, both offense and defense, is so predictable, and everyone just have dialed in on it. That our opponents, and they're just outrageous.
He played for the Bears. I mean, it was predictable play calling back then. It was Peyton left, Peyton right, Peyton up the middle. Robin will tell you, black for Peyton.
That's right.
He didn't know anything about offense. Ditka didn't either.
Of course, we don't have a Peyton either.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking at your bio here, Bob. The geek. How did that come about?
Well, I eat raw meat still. Even today I eat raw meat. I don't cook red meat at all. And in fact, I go into a restaurant and order a rare chicken, and they'll look at me.
Are you kidding me?
And have me sign a release and everything else.
Goodness gracious.
I did, ever since I was a little kid, I can remember my grandmother in San Francisco, the chopping block in the kitchen. She would be chopping up meat, and the dog and I would be looking up at the block and waiting for her to throw a piece of meat, either give me a piece or give the dog a piece. And I'd always be fighting that damn dog, trying to get as much as I could away from him. And I just acquired a real taste for raw meat.
Carpaccio, they call it in Italian.
The what?
They call it carpaccio in Italian.
I got an Italian
right.
Attorney.
They call it crazy in English, that's another story.
That's right.
At least you don't.
But the thing is, my favorite naturally is liver. I like raw liver. I still like it, and today, and you can't get it in the restaurant, but I'll buy it, at the store and the butcher shop and so forth. And every once in a while, I really enjoy that. And I can remember when I first, when the rookies first came in the camp when I was playing, and I was the captain of the team. On Thursday night, we would have liver. So at the training camp, and I would get my raw liver, and I'd put a napkin over it, and I'd walk over to where the rookies, most of the rookies sit by themselves, usually in training camp, and I'd go over and sit with them, and I could see the expressions on their faces. They'd be looking at me and say, what the hell is the captain sitting with us for? Gee, many crickets. And then I'd take the napkin off, and there'd be blood all over the plate and everything, and I'd start chewing on their liver, and most people don't understand the raw liver. It's almost like, it tastes like an apple, and it sounds like an apple. It crunches. And I'd exaggerate it, naturally, and a little blood dip down my chin. And all of these guys would get the hell away. They would get up and say, I think I'm not as hungry as I thought I was. And they'd be leaving the room and everything else. So there was a movie that came out that one of those years when I was doing that, and it was with Tyrone Power, and he was called the Geek because he was an alcoholic, and they would put him in the big tent at Ringling Brothers and in a cage, and they would throw him a live chicken, and he would rip it apart, and blood and feathers would be going all different directions. And this is where I got my nickname. The guy said, the Geek, that's it, and it stuck.
Man.
It could have been Captain Blood just as easily.
I wouldn't want to sit next to you, you know, in a training table, Bob. You know, I imagine if I was a rookie and you know, we have another ball player sitting across from me here, too. And would you, hey, Robert, would you like some, you know, guy eating in some raw chicken, raw liver? And I go, God, I'm going to have to block this dude or go up against him in practice. You probably want to rip my head off. Wow.
When I told Wyatt Tittle we're going to have you on, why he couldn't make it today, there was an illness in his family, he said, I want to go on after Bob because Bob's going to start telling some stories about me and I want to stop him.
Hey, we're hoping to get a buddy of yours on here.
Let me tell you a story. Yeah. I thought I died and going to heaven coming back from, you know, my last year was at Tulsa, and I was drafted by the 49ers, and I came back to my hometown. I had gone to high school in San Francisco. I played at the University of San Francisco. I played and then with the 49ers. And then the day I came in the training camp there, Wyatt Tittle, I was assigned as my roommate. I said, oh, it just doesn't get any better. Until after a couple of nights in the room with him, so he was sleeping at night, he's an asthmatic, and he wheezes at night. And, you know, no one wanted to sleep. No one wanted to be his roommate because they couldn't sleep very well. And I had to come up with a plan because the training team said to me, Bob, he's your little, you know, sleeping. Now, come on, you got to get it. You know, we want you to make the team and everything. I said, okay. So the next night, the coach, Buck Shore, he came down and he was talking with Y about the practice the next day and so forth. And he says, okay, practice tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And he, as he was leaving the room, he says, I'll turn out the light. I said, no, coach, let me. And we had beds on the opposite side of the room and there was a little sink. And I got up and I went over and I played like I was getting a drink of water. I said, I'm going to try to get a drink of water. And I, you know, faked it. And then I turned out the light and I turned the corner there and I went to YA's bed and I reached under the covers and I kissed him on his bald head and patted him on his ass and whispered in his ear, good night, Y. He never slept a wink all night.
Jeez.
That's one way to cure the problem.
Wow.
Oh, he told the whole team I was gay. He said, I'm not going to stay with that guy.
It's common in San Francisco.
Hey, Bob.
Well, I know it. Hey, tell me about it.
Hey, Bob, and thinking of Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, when I left the Bears, I was picked up by the Oklahoma Outlaws. And you know, in Tulsa in January, we always had the slogan out there, you know, that's where men are men and sheep are scared. So we're right up the same alley with that. Hey, we're talking with Bob St. Clair, former All-Pro Hall of Famer with the 49ers
So you never had to learn how to cook then? Is that
no,
true?
I'm easy.
Okay.
Do you eat sushi?
I'm an easy husband.
Are you a sushi fan?
Oh, yeah, sure. I love raw fish. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sashimi. Not so much the sushi, but sashimi. I was in a slug contest one time. Slug eating contest.
I could see that in Seattle because a lot of slugs up where I grew up.
Hey,
they were
don't get personal.
Out where, you know, out where I am. And what they did, they had this charity event where they would make slug the chowder and slug pizza. And then they had slug, everybody was eating those, you know, and, you know, bearing with it. But when it came to the raw slug, you know, sushi, no one would eat it, and I ate it, and I said, geez, this is the best one I think I've tasted.
Wow, son of a gun. Hey, we got about a minute here. What we're hoping to do, Bob, if you can hang out a little bit after the commercial break, Dick Stanfield was coaching when I was with the Bears here, and hopefully we're going to get him. I know that, David, what, do you have a doctor's appointment?
He had a doctor's appointment scheduled. He said, you know what? If I could be on with my good buddy Bob Sinclair, I'll cancel that appointment.
Well, good for you. He's my friend. He's my friend, and he's a hell of a football player. And he should be wearing a yellow jacket like I am. And I tried to tell everybody back in Canton, you know, this guy has been so underrated, and he was one of the best pulling guards they had and blockers. And it's just amazing that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
If not, we want to keep you on for the next segment.
This is the Barely Legal Show. We're going to take a short break. We hope to get former offensive line coach Dick Stanfield, one of my favorite guys, up next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.